we come to God's Word this evening, at times it's easy to just gather once again on a Sunday evening and take for granted the privilege that is ours to open up God's Word and to hear from Him. And I hope we will have that attitude. What He says, I will do. We could be in any number of places this evening. And yet God is pleased to have us here. And He wants to speak to you through this message. And so this is not just any old time. This is a time to hear from God. And sometimes when we do this routinely, and we should, in obedience to God, gather routinely to hear His Word preached, it can get to, well, this is just any old time. There's never any old time when God's Word is preached. It is always our God communicating His message to us. And so I trust that we will give full attention to His Word. It's easy on a Sunday evening, maybe. Maybe it's easy any time when you sit down in soft chairs to get sleepy and have your attention go anywhere but to be focused on God's Word. But let's ask Him to give us special attention this evening and that His Spirit would challenge our heart. Let's pray together. Father, we're about to enter into a part of our relationship with You that is so vital. You have established the public proclamation of Your Word, the gathering together of Your people to hear from the herald, the one who will open Your Word and communicate the truth that is there. Thank You that the message that I have to lead these people is not the wisdom that I have, but my privilege is simply to open up Your Word. And by Your Spirit, we pray that You would drive these truths home. Help it to be true of us that what You say we will do. And as You communicate things to us tonight, as You say things to us, I pray that we will do them, that we will be changed and encouraged and convicted wherever is needed by Your Word. There's a sense in which the battle continues, and especially so when Your Word is preached. As the evil one is present, his influence by those unseen forces are eager to snatch away the Word as it is being sown. And I pray that that would not be the case this evening. Help us not to quench the Spirit as He desires to teach us, to encourage us, to impart to us power to endure and power to stand. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. I asked one of the little ones this evening if he wanted a long message or a short message. And he said short. And I said, I'll see what I can do. But it's 4 pages. I think it's going to be relatively short. And if you will give good attention to God's Word, it is His message that I think will be very helpful to us. This morning, we spoke from Colossians on the topic of power. And we saw that all of us have power from God because we have His Spirit. And this is not just any power, it is God's glorious power. And we saw this morning that God gives us power. We have access to His power, not for miracle work, and not to control the weather and all this stuff that we see out there in the name of Christianity, this so-called miracle work. And sometimes we think that that's what God's power has to be evident there, or there is no power. And we saw that, you know, God gives us power for specific reasons. And in that text, we saw that God has given us power to endure, to keep on even when it's hard, to keep on even when it seems there's no end in sight, and to do so joyfully. God gives us power to endure. This evening, I want us to see that not only does God give us power to endure, but He gives us power to stand. He gives us power to stand, and specifically to stand against those things that are seeking to trip us up. And the text is the well-known text on the armor of God. And let's begin by looking at verse 10. I'm just going to go down to verse 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the cunning strategies of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We're not going to take the time this evening to look at each piece of the spiritual armor that's available. I'm going to make really just a couple comments that I think comprise later on a description of all the armor. Without looking at all the pieces, we're going to see how we can understand what that armor is in just really one brief statement. But I want to focus from this text on three points that relate to God's power. We saw that God gives us power to endure this morning. Now God gives us power to stand. And those three points are these. First of all, some sobering news. We need God's power because we are in war. We need God's power because we are in war. And it's a spiritual warfare. We are facing the evil of this world, the evil of spiritual beings, directed by the evil one himself. We are at war, and therefore we need God's power. And secondly, some encouraging news. That power, God's power to stand against the enemy, is available. Sobering news, we're at war. Encouraging news, we have the power to stand in this war. And then the challenging news, we must take to ourselves God's power. First of all, we're in a war. You know, the battle is lost before it's even engaged if we forget that we're in a battle. If we just go merrily tripping through life as though we're not in a spiritual battle, we're in trouble because we're not going to be sober. We're not going to have that mindset that any time there could be an attack. The evil one and his strategies and his cunning schemes could come at us. But if we're not expecting it, not anticipating it, if we think the Christian life is a playground rather than a battleground, then the battle is already lost. In fact, we're told in 1 Peter to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, is walking about seeking whom he may devour. Be serious-minded about life and be vigilant. Any person that's in a war doesn't just, I'm behind enemy lines, and you just keep your head up, and you just kind of, you're careful. There's a different mindset. If we went home to our house tonight with the mindset of routine, that I'm just going to go home into the house, I might casually open the door, and everything would be normal. But I went home to my house tonight with the understanding that a burglar might have broken into the house. When I open that door, it's a totally different mindset. There's a time I've shared with you before when you owned a little apartment, a little condominium in Bradford, Massachusetts. We came into the apartment and we noticed the light was on. We smelled smoke and neither of us smoked cigarettes, so we knew that wasn't the case, but our neighbors across the hall did. Maybe it had wafted over. And then we looked at a couple things. We realized the drawers were open and we realized that someone had come into our house. At that moment, it was like, I wonder if he is still here. Totally different mindset. We come in casual, and then all of a sudden, the enemy might be here. That's the mindset that we need to have as we move through life. 1 Peter, again, this time in chapter 2, verse 11, we're told to abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. Those desires that can pull us sinward. Don't allow those desires to lead us in a direction away from those things that please God. There is a war from without and within, and we need to recognize that. We need to recognize that our enemy is more powerful than we are. We're told in Jude chapter 9 that Michael, the archangel, would not stand against the evil one in his own power, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." When you think about the power of angels, one angel in the Old Testament killed 185,000 Assyrians with the jawbone of a donkey. I mean, if one angel could do that, now we're talking about Michael, the archangel, and he's facing the devil, and Michael doesn't say, "Oh, I can handle this on my own. Don't need your help, Lord." No, he looks to the strength of the Lord. The evil one is much more powerful than we are. His wisdom, his crafty wisdom, the wiles here that mention the strategies are cunning. He doesn't come in the front door. He doesn't scream, "Here I come to tempt you. Here I come to trip you up." He's thinking of subtle ways, subtle strategies. And he's relentless, like a roaring lion. He's not going to give up. And he's hungry. He's ruthless. He's seeking to devour. He's seeking to destroy. We need to recognize that. It's war. And he's the enemy, the adversary. He doesn't fool around. I saw on the news a video of a guy, this is recently, that had broken into it was either a convenience store or a package store. He came in and the video camera caught him, and he brought presumably the purchase that on the table he was going to buy. It was a bottle of something. And it was a pretty large bottle. It looked like maybe a wine bottle or some big whiskey flask. It was something really big. And he put it up on the counter. And the lady was standing behind the counter. And as soon as she kind of turned away, he took that bottle, grabbed it like this, the neck of that bottle, and full force, smashed it on the side of her head. And she went down to the ground. He instantly jumped over the counter and started stomping her. And I was like, man, this is bad. What's he doing? This is a lady. And then he picks up the cash register and throws it on her. And he was robbing the store. And it was ruthless, relentless. You'd think, just back off. Stop! Stop! He wasn't going to do it. You got to realize that the evil that is in that person to do something like that is nothing compared to the ruthlessness of the evil one. He's not going to stop. He's not going to think for your cries of mercy or for someone. He's ruthless. He's seeking to devour. And he's more powerful than we are. And we need to realize that we are in war. And the devil seeks to devour us. That's the sobering news. But the encouraging news is this. That victory is possible. You think, with someone so powerful and so ruthless, someone who is so much wise, is victory possible? Yes, it is, because we have God's power. Verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. This is the same power I spoke of this morning. Again, not just any power, but the limitless power of God. This is the power of God that is ours in Christ by His Spirit that everyone has. It's not a matter of praying, oh, maybe we might have the power of God. Oh, if only the Spirit would come upon us, we would have the power of God. You have the power of God if you are a believer because you have God's Spirit. It is available to you. And Paul is telling us here to be strong, not self-confidence. Well, I can march up against the devil or, courage in your own strength. I can handle this. I've got REV before my name. I'm Reverend Bob. I've gone to church for so long. I can handle this. I'm the courageous pastor. I'm the courageous deacon. I'm the Christian. I know. Oh, be strong, yes, but not in your own strength. Be strong in the power of the Lord. Be strong because we have the Lord's power. In Christ, we have what we need to stand. But if we hope to stand, we need to stand in His strength. The best soldiers of Christ are those who recognize they are helpless without Christ. And it's real easy to spend time around the things of the Lord and begin to think that you have courage and strength in yourself. Think of how much time Peter spent with the Lord. And there came that time where he was tempted to deny the Lord. And he did. He took his eyes off the Lord. There's no strength there. Later on in Peter's ministry, we see a time where in hypocrisy, he went after legalism, and Paul had to rebuke him. And so Peter was one who could, from experience, right, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is seeking to trip you up. We need to rely on Christ. And so we have the power that's available. It is found in Christ. And that leads us to the last point. Power available does not mean power appropriated. And this is the challenging point. We're in war. Our enemy is more powerful than we are. How can we possibly stand? We have all the power to stand we need in Christ. But that power that is ours in Christ needs to be appropriated. Your strength and power to stand is Christ. But if you do not walk with Christ in submission to Him, as we saw this morning from Colossians, controlled by the knowledge of His will, that is directed by who Christ is and your desire to please Him, walking closely with Him, then you're heading into battle without power because you're pressing forward without Him and you can do nothing without Him. This verse could be translated this way, this idea of, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You could say, allow the Lord to strengthen you or strengthen yourself in the Lord. Draw close to Him. Stay close by His side. How do we fail to strengthen ourselves in the Lord? Our power is Him. So we need to look to Him for strength. How do we fail to do that? From the text, one way that we fail to do this is that we fail to put on the armor of God. And here's my statement that I believe really comprises the entire armor of God. I believe the armor relates to putting on Christ. If you look at each piece of this armor, you can relate it to what we have in Christ and who Christ is. It talks about truth. And the idea there, I believe, is not just the truth of the Word of God, that we see later on, that's the sword. But it's the idea that It's truth that you believe. It's conviction that it's true. You draw it close to yourself. It's not just some theological points about Christ and about salvation. You're convicted that this is truth. You own it. You're not just speaking it. So truth about Christ. We think of the armor of righteousness that is Christ's righteousness that enables us to stand accepted before God. There is believing Him, as we see the armor of the armor that relates to faith, fellowship with Him, learning of Him in His Word and in prayer. All of these things relate to Christ. The armor is putting on Christ, His righteousness, His gospel, the information of Him, fellowshipping with Him, learning His Word and being controlled by what pleases Him. That's the armor. That's how we strengthen ourselves in the Lord. We draw close to Him. It's only then that we can stand. And so we fail to strengthen ourselves in the Lord when we fail to put on Christ, to put on the armor of God. The second way we fail, not from this text, but two chapters back, is when we fail to put off that which is contrary to Christ. Take a look at Ephesians 4, verses 22 and 24. Paul, in this letter, has taken the time to tell us all that we have in Christ, all that is available in the wonderful salvation we have, His righteousness, the power that is available. And now he's giving instruction as a result of that, how we're to live. And here he says in Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning the former manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. We fail to strengthen ourselves in the Lord, not only when we fail to put on the new man, put on the armor of Christ, and walk in His power. We also fail to strengthen ourselves in the Lord when we fail to put off the things that are contrary to Christ. I read of a mental hospital, a mental institute, that had devised an unusual method for determining if a patient were ready to be released back into society. And I imagine this wasn't the only test that they did, but it was a unique one to see if they could handle and really have a sense of reality. And they would take the individual and they'd bring them into a room, and it would be like a washroom. And there would be a sink with the tap, a water tap, turned on that was overflowing. The stopper was there, and so the water wasn't going down the drain, but was coming out of the sink and just pouring on the floor. And they would say to this guy, they'd give him a mop, and they'd say, you know, mop up this water. And if the guy had enough sense of reality, that in the course of mopping up the water, to look and say, you know what, I need to stop the source of the problem. I need to turn the tap off, because the water continues to come out of the sink and pour on the floor, and I'm supposed to mop this up. There's going to be no end to me mopping this up if I don't stop all the water coming out. And if he has enough presence of mind to do that, he has a sense of reality and is thinking correctly. And that was one of the tests that they gave. Now, while you and I trust, would never miss the obvious step of shutting off the water tap if we were given the task to clean up that bathroom, sometimes we can live from a spiritual point of view in a way that's equally strange. Each of us has been given a mop of God's truth that we're to use to clean up the evil that is around us, to take care of all the problems that are coming at us, to clean up our lives and put off those things that are contrary to Christ. We can only be useful in mopping up this evil if we at first have enough sense to shut off the flow of evil into our hearts that comes from the evil one, from all types of sources. In fact, James puts it this way: put off all overflowing of wickedness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Until you shut off the flow of evil, it's real hard to receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. And so we fail to strengthen ourselves in the Lord when we fail to put on Christ. We equally fail to strengthen ourselves in the Lord when we fail to put off those things that are contrary to Christ. You sit down in front of that TV set and pop in that DVD, or you pick up that magazine or that book, or you continue to saturate yourself with the flow of this evil world, you are not putting off things that are contrary to Christ, and you are hindering, you are, as it were, quenching the power that is available so that you can stand. And in those situations where you need to stand and we need to stand all the time because we live in that evil day, you will not stand. You will not. Have you done all to put on Christ and to put off that which is contrary to Christ? The battle rages. We're told here in Ephesians 6 that we may be able to withstand in the evil day. The evil day is upon us because we are at war. But there's one way that you could interpret this text where it says you're able to withstand in the evil day. There's a definite article before evil day. It could be looked at this way, the evil age we live in. And that's true. But it also can be interpreted this way. There's coming the evil day when Satan will particularly target you. We are targeted all the time in a sense. And we face all the time, the battle. We need to be realizing that. But there may be a day, a specific day, when the forces of darkness are particularly focused on you. And you need to have on the armor of God. And you need to be putting off that which is contrary to Christ to stand in that day. Christ said to Peter, Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. And whatever that idiom means, It basically is the idea of Satan wants to get a hold of you. He wants to devour you. Be ready. Watch and pray. There was an evil day coming for Peter. There was a day when the forces of darkness would be directed at him to deny the Lord. It's interesting that when Christ said, watch and pray, Peter found himself sleeping. And there came that time when the forces of darkness came on him. And he fell. There's an evil day coming. We're in it. And it may be that there's an evil day specifically that you need to be ready to stand. And so there better not be a day, a moment that goes by that you don't have Christ on. And don't fool around with those things that are contrary to Christ. But if you do walk in Christ, you have the power to stand. Because it is the power of Christ. And he can stand against the evil one. And what is... And I don't say this that we would presume and be flippant about sin. But part of the armor of God that we have, that even when we fail as Peter did, that God's power and Christ's righteousness enables us when the devil accuses us of our sin and he is right on. We blew it. We turned away. And we are left exposed for what we are, sinners. Even in that, the victory is ours in the power of the Lord. Because it is Christ's righteousness that makes us accepted. And Peter realized that. When he denied the Lord and he was ready just to throw in the towel and go his own way, what's the use? And the Lord came to him and restored him. Peter had his time of weeping bitterly over his fall. But the Lord restored him and Christ said to him, Peter, feed my sheep. I have a place for you. And there was victory even in that. What a wonderful armor we have. What a wonderful power that is available to us. And may we put it on. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word this evening. I pray that you would help us to remember these truths. Lord, sober us with the fact that we are in a battle against one who is far beyond our capabilities. Thank you that we in Christ have all that we need to stand. Father, we think that if this text is referring not only to the evil age that we live in, but a reminder to us that there are times when particularly there is a focused attack on us. Oh, Lord, help us to be ready. Help us to be reminding of ourselves of our union with Christ, that it is only as we remember his power and his strength. Father, certainly if we are neglecting our fellowship with him, failing to put on the full armor of God, we need it all, then we're not going to be ready to stand. And Father, give us discernment into those things that are contrary to putting on Christ. Help us to put those things off. Lord, maybe there's someone even in our congregation here tonight that is facing an evil day. And I pray that by your grace, you would help them to stand. And Father, for those that have struggled standing, I pray that they would realize that part of the armor of God is your righteousness that enables them to get back up and to continue to stand because you have won that battle for them. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.